WRHQ. It's the 337th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
Chris. God damn it. Brad.
Do I look that bad when I grow my hair out?
You look better.
Somebody doesn't play a game.
Chris Hector. Okay, jeez. All right. So, yes. Yeah,
Scott got burned.
So, HWR and friends today. Yay. Associates. Hector, welcome. Thank you so much for joining
us. Welcome back.
Welcome back again.
Yeah, this ain't his first radio.
Back in the saddle. Gonna ride it till you ride no more. today we are first off, if you're joining us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. You could, ask us questions if you log into the YouTube account and fact check us, talk shit, whatever. Robert, I see you in there. What's up, Robert? Thank you for joining us. If you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just leave a comment down below. Yeah, so today,
all about the G1.
All about the G1.
Yeah.
Hector, your field of expertise here in New Japan stuff. All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about Raw.
To start off, Raw. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted this episode to be all about the Japanese, but Vince McMahon had another bright idea.
Mm.
Apparently, he signed Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff back on the executive producing front.
Ah, yes.
Heyman on Raw, Bischoff on SmackDown. You read this on the Facebook, on the Twitter, on the YouPorn. What's your first impression?
My first impression before watching the episodes was like, I didn't know if, like, Triple H already has enough clout where you could say that he's controlling stuff, but he's not, because Vince is still controlling stuff. So if Vince wouldn't hand the reins off to Triple H, why don't you think that he's going to hand the reins off to Heyman or Bischoff just because he hired them? Like, my initial thought was they're going to be just as muted as anybody else, and Vince is going to do what the fuck Vince wants to do, and it's not going to make that big of a difference. That was my initial thought.
But has he? Has he been muted? Because,
well, that's going to be my second thought.
What's your first thought? Thursday.
First thought? What, Thursday? Yeah. When the hell did Vince go back to the 90s and grab Bischoff and Heyman? He decided to rely on old people.
Sorry.
To make new, better product. So I just wanted to see what was going to happen on Raw.
You don't think he hired the right people?
Oh, he hired the right people.
Yes, he did. He hired the right people for it.
Okay.
But it also depends on if he's going to let full reins on them or just give me your ideas and then you could go with this or no.
Yeah.
Rumor has it that Bischoff is picked for SmackDown so that he can be the liaison for Fox. Calm them down when they start crying. Make sure everything's going to be okay.
It's the TV crew.
He's got the production companies. He knows how to handle people like that. Heyman. Oh, by the way. I think Bischoff starts after Extreme Rules because the last podcast that he did over the weekend, he's basically moving to Stamford. So he hasn't been keeping an eye on the product weekly. So we're not going to get a Bischoff taste until a couple of weeks. But Heyman got right on it on Monday.
Yeah.
From Thursday to Monday, once the show was over, what was your second impression?
Damn.
Yeah,
I was like, they actually, is this really Heyman? They're letting Heyman do his Heyman shit? Damn, okay, I guess I might be a little bit wrong. But then again, my third thought was, but this is just the first go. I bet Vince is going to be there in the back and then say, well, that episode was terrible. I let you do it one time, and look how bad you fucked it up. Now we have Maria Kanellis being pregnant. That's bullshit.
He's already shaking his head.
Yeah.
Are you going to put him in his place?
Yeah.
Tell them. Second thought after Monday.
At the very end, after the show ended, Vince can say whatever he wants, but as soon as he sees the ratings, he's going to be like, oh, wait. We haven't gotten that since so many weeks ago.
Were the ratings up? For this past week?
For all the talk that's been on social media, then there were a lot of people watching it.
And that probably might just be the first week, just because internet fans in the woods lost. I think I heard Heyman. Yeah. So they're going to look. Now, if that carries over the next couple of weeks, or even goes higher in the next couple of weeks,
yeah,
then there might be more flame to the smoke, you know. Yeah,
hopefully.
It felt half and half.
Okay.
I felt like I can tell what was Heyman and what wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
To begin with, man, I had to break the news to my nephew yesterday. I told him flat out, I was like, look, the way things are going, we're not going to Raw or SmackDown for Royal Rumble weekend, because I bet being in the audience for those 3 hours when there's nothing going on because there's a commercial break has to be insufferable. It has to suck. And how many more 2 or 3 falls are we going to get?
How many more restart of the match?
How many 3-minute matches with guys that we've seen in NXT have 30-minute barn burners, or women having 25-30-minute barn burners getting pinned in like 45 seconds? You know, it's and then things happen to fill the time in between pay-per-views.
Yeah.
If Alexa got beat by Carmella in a minute, that might not be – I personally wouldn't like it. But you could have easily built up to next week's Raw to have Alexa beat Carmella so that you – I mean, for Nikki to beat Carmella so that you can build on the story. It feels like they're going to plow through so much so quick because they want to fill all these segments instead of letting stuff air out.
Right.
You know, so there's stuff on there, decisions that I know are still Vince, but I'm sure everybody is still talking about that opening segment with Strowman and Lashley. I bet that's the first thing that went off on your head.
That was a throwback for the Rhino.
Rhino and Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a Heyman product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was like, okay, we're gonna start it off with the people that already with the two people that the fans have been oversaturated already by.
Yeah.
Lashley and Strowman. But let's have the match end in a cliffhanger. Because
to make them want to see how what happens next.
And you could even hear the change, because they didn't bleep out Corey Graves saying, holy shit.
Yeah.
And they kept dropping those hints on commentary of letting it out.
Yeah.
Like bullshit or holy shit or just plain shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is PG era, this like a no-no kind of thing.
Right. The only complaint I had about that was just, it was too many goddamn fireworks there. It's like, okay, you're pouring on the cheese a little bit too much. Save some of that pyro for actual entrances.
They grabbed the guy that burned Undertaker.
That's what I guess. But like, I mean, it was cool seeing the initial explosion, but if we're going to have a pyro budget, let's not blow it on a stunt. Let's actually use some of it for entrances, please. But that was my only complaint with that.
Something else that felt very Heyman,
yeah,
was the storyline with Maria and Mike Kanellis.
Yeah, she's pregnant, apparently.
And in real life, too.
Kayfabe, yeah, she's legit pregnant, but they're using it as part of the story.
Wait, she's legit pregnant?
Yeah.
There's no way she's legit pregnant if they let her anywhere near a ring.
The story behind that was that, you know how they were having all the contract dispute and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, she signed the contract, and after she signed, she let WWE know that she was pregnant.
Nice. That's how it's done.
So, yeah.
That's why I can never trust them.
So Maria is probably pregnant. I'm doubtful because they never let anyone near the ring. Okay. Yet she showed her clear blue and everything. She did? Hold up.
So that's what that was.
Hold up. All right. Thanks, Porsche.
Mike being the bitch of the team. Probably obvious from the beginning when they showed up on the main roster and he had her name.
Yeah.
But they're actually doing something with that, because they never really mentioned that once they
never did anything.
Once they so they're actually
now
gonna do some, yeah.
I'm cool with it. It'd be for an interesting storyline if they actually go through with it. This also, aside from the fact that it dealt with like adult themes of somebody getting pregnant, right? Aside from that part, it also felt like Heyman was like, Vince, the hell you doing? You got this top talent, this top guy, and oh, by the way, the beautiful Maria Kanellis. Why the fuck are you not using them?
You know what?
I'm going to put them in the storyline tonight. I'll get them over, Vince, and then boom.
Like talking.
Yeah. And
They ruined every women's match for me from here on out forever. Why is that? I'm just waiting for somebody to scream, I'm pregnant!
Oh, I'm sorry. Psych!
Good move.
Don't hit me, bro. I'm pregnant.
Shit, man.
Wait for Velveteen Dream to use that.
Oh, no. Anything else stand out for you on Raw that felt like a change in the positive for Heyman's first night in Gorilla with Vince?
Nothing that pops off of right now off the top of my head. I'm sure we'll find other little subtleties here and there. But I kind of want to move on to SmackDown for the one thing that, like, seemed like a Heyman thing, but it's not a Heyman thing. And I was like, well, maybe it's a Bischoff thing, but Bischoff supposedly isn't on there yet.
One last thing before we leave the Raw show.
One more thing. What?
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the AJ heel turn?
Oy! Pariva! Yes. Yeah.
This time?
The return of the club?
Yeah. If anything, in the Heyman era, I think, here we go, talking about Heyman era, like this is a thing already, but if it becomes a thing, if anybody can handle it right, it'd be Heyman. Really, Paul Heyman having the remnants of what was the beginning of the Bullet Club, holy fuck, yeah, he could handle that.
So what was it on SmackDown that I missed? Because I was watching this new Spider-Man movie. I saw that picture floating around on the internet on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, because Facebook broke.
Kofi just flipped the dude off, which is like, okay, cool. Samoa Joe, right? Flipped Samoa Joe off. And Joe was like he'd never been flipped off before. And Kofi got the better of him because he flipped him off and fucking scared Samoa Joe.
Every time for the next couple of months that somebody gets flipped off, you're just going to think of Ricochet's finger. So that's probably why. Oh my God. Oh, wait, it's not you.
He didn't get the
finger. We know what that finger smells like.
God damn. But
let's try it.
I don't know what to, like, again, how to categorize that. It was that influence of Heyman on whoever is the lame duck producer on his way out before Bischoff shows up, or was that Vince saying, oh, fuck it, we're going to do that on Raw. I could show him that I could do it on SmackDown. Or is it just coincidence or what? I don't know. Am I reading too much into it?
That's a good question. Okay. I don't even know who's in charge of SmackDown right now.
I'm not sure if that's a question to ask for that segment to me, because from the moment that Joe went out and choked Kofi on the ramp, I was already invested. When Joe beat Kofi by unconsciousness Monday, I was interested. Right. So they don't need to do anything out of the ordinary, at least for me, because that shit just writes itself.
Well, for the promo, basically when Kofi did that was that Samoa Joe wanted a handshake, and if he didn't, if he would have given him the handshake, Samoa Joe won't hurt the people that Kofi loves.
Ah.
So that further should invest you in it. So you're getting another angle of Samoa Joe and Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little hint of it.
Yeah, he's going to be choking out fucking the rest of the New Day so that nobody bothers him in this fucking match, because he's going to lose anyway.
Well, I think he actually brought up, like, his kids and his family and he was going, like, full Wendy mode on him. Yeah. but again, we've seen that from Joe before. Yeah. So it's not that far-fetched. And I'm not saying that I wasn't invested before the flipping of the bird. Yeah. I was invested with it because Joe and his Kofi, and they've been doing pretty good. The storyline's been good. But it's just, if we're trying to pick out differences from this week's WWE programming from the weeks before and looking at it through the lens of the new hires, it's kind of, this particular one sticks in my craw because I don't know who to actually attribute this to, because allegedly this isn't Bischoff. It's not Bischoff, it's not Heyman.
There's more people on there. I mean, there's one thing that I read about what happened last night on SmackDown that I would kind of attribute to Bruce Pritchard.
Okay.
People online saying that they at least did a good job of making you want to watch Stomping Ground, because you just needed to know who the fucking referee was for Corbin. You know, whether you like the decision or not, they gave you a steak. They gave you some meat on that hook for you to like, And they did it last night with Alistair.
Yes.
It's like, I heard somebody knock on that door, but when I opened it, they were gone. So I'm going to leave the door open. I'm going to leave the ring open for you on Sunday. You come find me. We handle it. Yeah. So now you have a reason to watch a show that you otherwise wouldn't, because you want to know who the fuck's dumb enough to try to challenge this fool, yeah. You know? And that's something either Bruce Pritchard or Eric Bischoff, because Eric Bischoff on this podcast regularly would say about his misgivings of WCW, where there was a lot of stuff that didn't have stakes. There has to be a purpose. There has to be a reason. There has to be something for them to compete for.
Well,
yeah.
Or over.
Going back to SmackDown, then, what was the reason of Owens kind of doing a face turn?
Yeah, I couldn't not catch your tales of what all that happened.
I'm not sure if it was a face turn yet. Was it the seeds of a face turn?
It was the seeds of it, because when the whole show started, it was McIntyre Shane. And Shane,
yeah,
on the
Mac KO and Mac
show. Yeah. They were on the KO show, but when Owen started asking the questions, Shane would tell him, stick to the questions that we gave you. And he was just going off all.
Yeah.
Then you have Ziggler coming in, and Shane just puts them both in the tag team match for the main event. But when they lose due to Ziggler, Kevin Owens picks him up and just stuns him.
Yeah.
And he just starts saying, you know, this is my show. And then it cuts off there. So we don't know what the hell is going on with KO.
Yeah.
That might just be KO being KO. I mean, that's
trying to be a tweener.
That's his show. He does what he wants to do. Nobody tells him what to do on his own talk show, you know, and then he loses on the main event of what he thinks is his brand, his show.
The way he was calling out Shane on his hypocrisy, though, seemed very facey. Yeah. That's where I thought, oh, shit, maybe this is a face turn for KO, you know, but maybe it could be, again, him just being a tweener because he doesn't put up with any shit on his own show.
Then probably might be going back to the original idea. Before,
no heels and faces?
No, when he was coming back as a face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that was he's basically showing the same character he did with those promos.
Because tell me, SmackDown, Kofi is your champ. Who's your number two babyface?
Other than the New Day?
The rest of the New Day?
Yeah.
Other than the New Day, is it off the top of your head?
Damn, I don't even know.
The fact that it's taking you that long.
Balor?
The guy that doesn't show up?
Yeah.
Mustafa?
I think Roman? Was Roman on last night?
No.
Roman hasn't been on since
Dominion. Roman would be the second base on
the show that he hasn't been on in 3 weeks.
That he only shows up on Raw most of the time?
Yeah. Even though Fox wants him because they want star power.
Right.
Well, you got to understand, Roman's not going to be showing up for a couple of weeks now since the whole promotion for
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw is coming up.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, but he had leukemia, though. So
he deserves a break.
Somebody get that man a Kit Kat bar.
A Snickers. You're not you when you're Samoan. Fighter Fest.
Woo! Okay, end of WWE. Damn, that only took 23 minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
That was 20 minutes too long.
Did you actually watch the
Asa
buy-in or the whole
Asa? I think I saw Erkang.
The whole McGillicuddy was on my TV. Whether or not I watched it, that's a different story.
What's your match of the night?
Damn, I got like all the show.
God, you fucking Mark.
Story-wise, tag team, they're putting the division over with those three tag teams. Of course, you have
Private Party and Best Friends and that SCU. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Best Friends, they show the who's seniority there. The one that I always had to go back to is the Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin.
Woo! Do you agree?
I want to have to give it incomplete on this one for me. Because I had all of it on the telly.
You were in the kitchen.
I wasn't in the kitchen, but I had people over that weren't wrestling fans or my, you know, work friends.
Oh, so, you're going to the late party.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought them here?
Yeah.
During Fighter Fest?
Yes. Hey, it was better than going somewhere else where they wouldn't be having it on the TV, at least. At least here, I got to see what was going on. So I do know what happened, but I didn't, like, watch it closely enough to say, this was the best match, this is the second best, and da-da-da-da-da. All I know is that everything that was there was good.
So who was actually watching that?
Here?
Yeah.
I
I was the one that was like watching, going back and forth.
So your coworker friends that were leaving, now nobody was interested in watching any of that.
Only one was like halfway, and they would ask me questions. So like, did he really get hit? Like, was that supposed to happen? Like, is he supposed to be bleeding? And I'm like, no, he's not. Well, you sure they didn't fake that too? And I'm like,
I have a podcast.
Oh man. But my match of the night is Kobe versus Darby Allin.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say that I really did enjoy that match. If y'all want to say that's the best match of the night, sure, fuck it, why not? Again, I got an incomplete on my homework there.
I'm going to get a lot of shit for this.
Ooh, I always like it when that happens.
If generations last like every 10 years or less, we might be at the beginning of this generation CM Punk.
Okay.
For anybody that was blessed to watch CM Punk when he first started in Ring of Honor, to where he got now, this reminds me, that match with Cody reminded me of that with Darby Allin. Darby Allin's a guy that stands out in a crowd. He's not your typical big muscle man. He has his own code of ethics that he believes in, that he understands whether you validate them or not. And he has a wrestling style. He has a character that's unique enough to him that if anyone tries to copy it, they'll know who they're copying it from. Just like one move, bro. One. That now like half the roster does. So I was already invested in him from the episode of The Wrestlers. I was emotionally invested in the kid. It's like, dude, the dude was 20 when they made that episode, and he'd been through enough since. And so I knew who he was, and watching him progress through this match, outsmarting Cody, other than maybe Will Ospreay, I don't think I've seen anyone dart around the ring as fast as Darby Allin did with Cody. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because Cody was reacting slow and he looked quicker, but man, Darby looked like he had like endurance for days.
Yeah. Okay.
And that story left me wanting a lot more. The only nit that I have to pick on that match is twofold. Number one, the audience is dumb. It's very simple. You can't have it both ways. The crowd wants something different. They want anti WWE.
Okay.
If they're telling you that we're trying to present more of a real fight feel, then you have to accept the fact that there's going to be draws.
Yeah.
Mixed match.
Okay.
MMA
okay.
matches, boxing matches, they're referee draws, they're split
football
decisions.
Football matches.
Football matches. Don't go into overtime. Soccer matches don't go into overtime or penalty kicks, even then, unless it's like tournament bracket or whatever.
I'm in NFL.
That's it. Yeah. If you're the Eagles. So you have to accept the fact that that's going to happen. And for the first like 45 seconds, everyone's shat all over it. The point of having a draw is not 5 more minutes. It's buy the pay-per-view next fucking month and keep it going, or tune into TNT next week and keep it fucking going.
And that was something that used to happen in wrestling way back in the day. You always hear about all the broadways with Flair and, you know, Steamboat and all that. They went 60 minutes to, you know, a time limit draw, brother. And like that might be some of the influence, you know, NWA.
Omega Okada 2.
Yeah.
Did people bitch about that being a draw?
No. You know, we're happy it went close to an hour.
Yeah.
And number two is the chair shot. Not because of the damage it did. If that was in the plan, that's fine.
I think it was because they haven't seen that type of chair shot in a long time.
Yeah.
The thing that I
apparently think, neither had Cody.
Yes.
No, he saw it. He just felt like taking one.
Yeah.
The thing that upset me about that was it took all the focus away from Darby. The kid survived 20 minutes against the guy that, for all intents and purposes,
is the top guy.
He had no right to survive.
Yeah.
And everybody, all the heels went to check up on Cody, and Darby's just there like a stack of flapjacks. Nobody gave a fuck about that guy. Nothing. Like, even I would have even appreciated if like Darby like crawled into the ring and he was also helping out Cody, so Cody can like, oh, I need to keep my eye on this guy. I beat his ass and he's still checking up on me.
Yeah,
that means I didn't fuck him up enough. something yeah. to keep the shine off of Darby. No, you just took that light and went on somebody that wasn't even in the fucking match. You know, I like you, Sean Spears. I like the perfect 10, you know, but damn, I think that was misplaced. Really misplaced. And if you're putting over MJF as like the dick of this millennium, it felt weird watching him be the first one to try to help out another guy. You know, because yeah. Cody sometimes
yeah, that's true.
Cody's either that's true. Cody's flirting that line, like I'm the businessman, so I have to like play it down the middle, but when I'm in the ring, I still need to get my way. Like he plays both sides. You don't know what
but the thing with MJF is like AEW is using the what's it called, being the elite to further their stories.
Yeah.
Or being the elite. Well, story wise, MJF is somewhat the protege of Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
So even if he's a heel or a dick, he's always still going
to – he's going to look up to him.
He's going to look up to him and take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole purpose of him going in there, even if he's a dick or not. But, yeah, I did not like that the spotlight was taken away from Darby, even though, yeah, AEW's first – this is their first draw. And the thing that sucks is that it's not going to further the story anymore. It stopped right there.
Because of Sean.
Because of Sean. And now he's going to fret. Now they're putting the spotlight on them because of their history back in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And the FCW or whatever it was.
The only way they can keep this going is if they announce, like, next week for Fight for the Fallen, we get Sean Spears against Darby. It's like, hey, you came here and fucked it up for me. So now I'm going to fuck you up and stick you in this damn bag.
Yeah, he was supposed to go into my body bag, not out on your stretcher.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
You could waffle him over the head, but damn it, put him in my sack.
That's what caught my attention from Darby when he came out with that body bag.
Oh, yeah.
Just because seeing the documentary of how they brought him in that documentary, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that would be nice. Just seeing him being brought into the ring with that body bag and just come out.
I also knew through the episode where Ethan Page closed the bag and stuffed all the thumbtacks and he powerbombed him with all that shit in there. It's like, oh, somebody's going to get fucked up in that bag. And I was like, all right, I'm watching to the end to see who the fuck gets fucked up in that bag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I wish he got more, but this is one of those examples where he got over. Like whether he lost or he won, that fucker got over because they were chanting for him. And you're in the ring with Cody and you're getting your own chance, you're over.
Before you showed up, me and Hector were chit-chatting, and I said to you that even though I didn't get to like really pay attention to everything on the screen, I was sold on Darby and also on Janela. With this.
Ooh, because you weren't a fan of Janela last week.
No, not really. I was like, whatever. And I think I even said it. I want to be sold on the guy. And I think this particular match made me sold on him. You know, moving on to his match with the
Moxley.
Moxley, yeah. I keep wanting to say Ambrose. moving on to his match with Moxley. I know I sat here and I bemoaned, you know, oh, I don't really want to see that hardcore style out of Moxley. And I don't want to say that this was artfully done, but it wasn't like grotesquely done.
They held a lot back.
They held a lot back, which I appreciate. I don't want to see the fucking saws going through the cheek. I don't want to see blood just for the sake of blood, you know? And I think that this was a hardcore match, but they held enough back to where I'm like, I can stomach this, and this is actually pretty good. It's kind of
intense. Which means next time they'll use light tubes. Half-cut cans.
Yeah, fucking cattle prod up the tukus, you know.
It's just like Khan said when they interviewed him after the show about the chair shot. Okay, we thought about it. We used it. We didn't like it. We're not going to use it. But the violence and whatever we show here on pay-per-view is going to be only on pay-per-view, not on regular TV show.
Okay.
So you might get that pay-per-view-wise, but regular show, you won't get it.
You water it down because if you start doing it every week, then it takes away the meaning of having a match like that, like having 2 out of 3 falls every Monday and Tuesday.
But focusing back on Janela here, I kind of expected some of this stuff out of Dean or Moxley. I expected some of this out of Moxley. I did not expect Joey Janela to keep up in a hardcore style because I didn't think he was that type of wrestler. Like, I thought he was, like, your pretty boy wrestler.
He doesn't even look like he can ride roller coasters. because he's not tall enough. Yeah, so, but he hung.
He hung well. no, he
one of them have to.
He did really good in the match. Like the fact that it was a hardcore match actually made me see a different aspect of Joey Janela, if that makes sense. Like, we were all expecting to see, okay, what's the difference between Dean Ambrose and Jon Moxley? This is it. Okay, cool. This is what we suspected. This is what the people that were fans of Jon Moxley before he became Dean Ambrose already knew. Mm-hmm. But the big question mark where we got a little bit of definition was with Joey, because I thought Joey was just a pretty boy indie guy and that's it. But no, this motherfucker can do a little bit of hardcore wrestling. Okay, what else can he do? I want to see more out of this guy now.
Can I tell you guys when they got my attention?
Yes, when?
Was it the shoes and the socks?
No. When Justin Roberts got in the ring and said, as far as tonight goes, as of right now, this pay-per-view is officially over.
Yeah.
So the lights are going to go out. When the lights go on, our non-sanctioned match is going to begin. That's fucking brilliant, dude. Yeah. How are you going to have a non-sanctioned match in the middle of a fucking show? Like, that thought never crossed my mind until I saw that show.
Yeah.
And they presented it so – and at first I was like, man, after fucking Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, six-man tag, I don't know if this match should main event. Boy, was I – they told me this isn't the main event because you had your main event.
Yeah,
this is your dark match.
Yeah.
Except we're going to turn the lights on after we turn them off. And then that's – fuck, man. Like, yeah.
They got you.
Got me. I was sold.
And then what about the socks?
Yes.
I know you want to say it. Go for it, man.
It never occurred to me either. It was one of those moments of, okay, you've seen so much hardcore matches and never thought, okay, what is one of the things that hurt the most?
Two bags of thumbtacks, like, all right, you're not Foley. What are you going to do? Oh, shit.
What is he doing?
Taking off. Why is he taking off his socks? What is that gonna?
Oh!
It just reminded me of barefoot Legos.
Yes.
Yes!
Yes.
Oh man! That was awful, man. That was awful.
Yeah.
Dude, that whole show
that was fun.
That whole show was fun. Borderline, really good.
Yeah. But we didn't talk about it that much. What about the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid versus the Elite?
By the way, they're having that rematch, I think, in Triple Mania.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, Triple A.
When?
I think it's...
The beginning of...
No, the end of this month. July 20-something. 28th, I think.
Okay.
So that's going to be your main event again.
Okay. Yeah.
So obviously, you saw the ratings that Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks drew on their weekly show.
So imagine adding Kenny Omega on it.
And Laredo Kid.
And Laredo Kid is one of their top prospects right now.
He's pretty cool. I like Laredo. He was good.
That's fine, man.
I wish I would have had a chance to pay a little bit more attention to Laredo Kid. That would be one of the things I want to go back and rewatch. But it's the match that, out of the three big ones that were, oh my God, so great, that's the one that's getting the least shine, you know, from like Marks and people that do what we do here.
I'm not sure if it's shine. I think it's starting to become not so much a problem, but you know what? We're having anticipation levels of 10, 11, and 12 for this match. It met the expectation. It didn't exceed it because it's so fucking high, because we already have those mentalities in our head to where a match that, like, what the fuck's that pipe cleaner kid with a mouth Darby Allin doing? Oh, wait a minute, because that exceeded our expectations. Yeah. People talk more about that instead of something that they already come to realize that that's what they're going to get every fucking time they get in the ring.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think for the whole show, the only down one that I can say was the Ali versus Liberian match.
That
was the only one that was like, why is it there?
Again, I had a whole bunch of non-wrestling fans here. They were at the dinette table outside, you know, we were grilling, stuff like that. So they weren't sitting in the living room. But the one time when I was glad they weren't sitting in the living room is when she came out there and was just, and then the other dude, and they were having a shush off. And I was like,
holy shit.
And I was like, ooh, I hope nobody's paying attention. Okay, one of them's kind of paying attention because they just hear the hissing.
It's like, oh my God, snakes!
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. You know, it's like one of those, you know, like, hey guys, this is really awesome. You should watch this. And it's like, don't watch that. Don't look at that.
Look, shiny.
Your matches of the week.
Darby versus Cody.
I have to agree with that one.
What about you?
Well, it depends. Well, I'm guessing you're going to go for Styles and Ricochet again.
The one that took a minute and a half. That's my pick. No, I'm just kidding. Man, I'm going to show off tonight.
Womp, womp.
Show off tonight. Here's my candidates. Shayna Baszler versus Io Shirai. Cage match from last week's NXT.
That was all right. I did see that.
At my place, yeah, before last week. Pre-show for Best in the World. Roosh against Flip Gordon.
Oh.
They told a good story because Roosh is undefeated, and he normally wipes people off the floor in like 3 or 4 minutes. You saw what he did to fucking Dalton Castle. And that match was a good 10, 15-minute storytelling of I need to do something. Oh, it was good. It was really good. It surprised me. The Rascals against Laredo Kid and the Lucha Bros last week from Impact.
That was actually good, too. I actually saw that.
Really?
Yeah, I actually saw that.
Fuck. You surprised me with that one.
But of course, sometimes turns on Impact and subjects the rest of the house
to it. A match I saw before I got here. Southern Showdown, New Japan, Ospreay against Robbie Eagles.
I like that one.
That was really good. And of course, Darby and Cody. That's my huge ass list. I don't know what to pick from.
I agree with you on two of those, including the last three. Including...
I think for story's sake, I might pick Cody versus Darby Allin. I don't think it's anywhere near match of the year or anything. At least for me,
I agree.
But that was a nice little appetizer for what's next.
Yeah, if the shenanigans with taking the shine off of Darby and putting it onto Sean Spears didn't happen, I might be okay with us maybe saying it should be match of the year. But I think that stuff actually made it go down a little bit.
If that ended with the, like, well, because technically we do the match is bell to bell, but we do take other things into consideration. If they would have kind of ended it with the Code of Honor kind of with Cody, and even if they don't like, even if Cody's not happy about it, like.
But show that, respect.
Yeah, dude. Something. Show him something. They didn't show him shit once that match was over. I was like, fuck. But yeah, that's my pick too. Cody versus Allen.
But there, again, going back to the New Japan match with Ospreay and Robbie Eagle, there is story with them.
Yeah.
And that. So that, again, that might lean me more towards them than the Cody and Darby match.
All right, but, well, we'll use that as a transition to get into the New Japan stuff. But before I do that, the hell's Blanca talking about in the live chat? She says, really? That's my line. Does somebody steal one of her lines?
Oh. Not that line.
Well, you say you're going out afterwards. I'm just assuming somebody gets it.
Is the shiny line.
Oh.
Shiny. Oh. Yeah. I see. All right. Porsche says, the NXT match was good.
The only thing that kept me from the cage match is what I hate the most, the usual cage tropes. Like, oh, somebody's got to dive off the top. Somebody's got to do X, Y, Z. But
the finish
was very ingenious.
Finish was brilliant.
Yeah.
Even though we saw something just the week previous kind of similar with Kofi just jumping out of the cage, with this, she just fell out because she was knocked out of the cage. She still lost, but she still won. Which I think we've seen before with, like, Big Show getting thrown through the cage and winning.
Steve Austin, when Big Show debuted, he threw him through the cage and the wall went.
And Big Show still won. And
Austin won.
I want to say Big Show won like that in some other match. Maybe it was like with Brock or Mark Henry or something. No, it was two big guys.
You're probably thinking.
You might be thinking Big Show. Brock. You might be thinking Big Show versus JBL, where he chokeslammed him through the ring. And
JBL,
and just as Big Show is about to step out of the cage, JBL's already crawling out. Yeah. He's like, oh, he hit the floor first.
That's when he went through the ring.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I just remember some big guy getting thrown through the cage, and the guy that got thrown through the cage won.
Is there anybody else in there?
Yeah, what is it, Porsche Blanca?
Before we break out the sushi? Yeah. All Mark, right. You ready?
No, let's get to the
sushi. G1 Climax! Chico Caliente!
So.
Hi.
Hi. Arigato. Gozaimasu. Hi.
Chris, what do we got?
You ready for this?
I feel like I've
waited all year for this.
Do we need to put subtitles for you? Or?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Night one, Block A, Dallas, this Saturday. Live on Access Television.
Are you going?
Yeah! Yep.
You going?
Nope.
Oh, I'm not going. But I might watch on Access.
Mm-hmm.
AXS.
Look for me. I'm going to be wearing the New Japan shirt.
Oh. No. That's not going to be the way to pick out Chris. The way to pick out Chris is just turn up the volume a little bit and listen for the assholery.
Detour, true story.
Oh, God.
My girlfriend at the time and I, we went to a house show in Corpus Christi that turned into Elimination Chamber. And we're like, the entrance is here. Our seats are here. Bacon is on the floor right here. Bacon! Oi! Fast forward to last Friday, I'm at the Astros game, and I think it's Solzinger's, some guy with the weird last name. He has Ric Flair's song as his entrance theme.
Mariznick,
yeah, and he has Ric Flair's theme. So you hear the woo, and then the pageant, the pump song, and everybody's like woo, woo, woo. What? Some dude dropped his beer. I was like, dude, that's $14, man. Dick. Oh, man. G1 Climax.
She's got five, a set of lungs on her.
Five matches. Evil against Bad Luck Fale from the Bullet Club. That sounds like a six. Are you at a six?
That's a little bit more than a six. I'll probably go.
Really?
Maybe a seven.
All right.
Maybe. That just sounds like it's going to be hard hitting slobber knocker.
Yeah, it is.
Evil and Fale. What do you think?
On that.
Eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm at an eight too, man. Fale's just fun to watch. He looks like he doesn't need to be there. He's just there because it's fun. Like, I'm not here for the money. I just want to beat the shit out of
him. He's like, what? You want to hit me?
This might be the year that everybody looks at Evil and starts asking why he doesn't have a singles title. I've got Evil winning this match with Fale.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Evil winning. I really don't see anything furthering with Bad Luck Fale as of now. Yeah. Because right now
he's there to accrue losses.
Yeah.
In the tournament, but he's gonna have fun, and if he's having fun, I'm gonna enjoy watching him beat the shit out of people.
Yep.
Makes sense. I'll go with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah. Lance Archer against Will Ospreay.
I don't care too much for Lance Archer. So I'm going to go with about a four.
I'm going to do your math. I'm at a five. I'm at a 10 for Ospreay, zero for Archer.
Okay.
But I think it'll be a fun test because lately, man, Ospreay's been bulking up. I don't know. How long he's holding his breath on the scale to get under 205 or whatever the cruiserweight limit is, or light heavyweight limit is. He's getting a little bit bitch.
Yeah.
and let's see if he can out heavyweight a guy that's taller than him and fatter than him and slower than him and is known to do heavyweight style stuff with Lance Archer. He moves around a little, but you know he's
big. This is gonna be more of a brutal match for Ospreay.
Yeah,
because Archer's kind of style is just...
You don't flip me. You don't dip me.
He'll just toss you.
Yeah.
That's what he does. So I think I'll be at a six with him with that match.
Yeah. You got Ospreay going over?
Ospreay's going over.
Yeah. All right, Ospreay.
Yeah. He's going to need a lot of points.
There's a story behind Ospreay. So yeah. I really do think he's going to get far along.
I think for the few times that New Japan has been in American audiences, they're trying their best to have most of the faces, if not all the faces, go over. Mm. So this is going to be a situation of those where I think Ospreay's going to go over because they're here.
Now, do you think, going back to you, because you made this comment, I think, a couple of weeks ago, do you think it's going to be actually Lance in that match? Or do you think...
Man, that's
the point. Man. That's a good point.
It would be a huge disservice for everyone on this planet if Minoru Suzuki is not in this tournament. And he said, had backstage interviews. He's going to wreck some fucking shop. And dude, why wait until they go back to Japan? Start here. Kill some people. I'll show you a big white house with a big redhead you can aim for.
All right.
Go kill him.
You know what my rebuttal to that was a couple of weeks ago. So, Hector, I'm going to ask you, does that seem very New Japan-y? Somebody beats up somebody and then poof, they're in the fucking match in the tournament. Like, is that something that fucking New Japan even does? It seems too sports entertaining.
Right now, from what I know, New Japan is going through a transition. Mm-hmm. Because booking-wise, what's his name from the
Bullet Club? Gedo.
Gedo is starting to release the reins on that.
Yeah.
So that there's a possibility that it might happen. But if you're going back to his ways, I don't know.
Who would you replace out of the 20 guys in the tournament?
I would replace Yano.
Oh, no.
That I know that's your comedy relief as the whole matches. But going back to all people that have stories.
You just said earlier, Bad Luck Fale is not serving anything.
But Bad Luck Fale later on has some interesting matches. He's the type of person that could progress the story.
Okay.
But out of all of that, Yano doesn't really have anything to do other than I don't think he's ever won a singles title either, but mostly he's comedy relief.
Is Juice in this?
Yep. Yes.
Fuera.
What?
No. No way.
No.
Why not?
No way. If you were thin and a woman in Japan, he'd be all over Juice.
Yeah.
Juice is the
same. But it's not in Japan. It's in Dallas.
I don't really give a fuck.
Let me put it this way. Juice got juiced now.
Okay.
After that loss to Moxley, he's got juiced.
Okay. Okay.
Zack Sabre Jr. What? Against Sonata.
Eight.
I'm right there.
Most of that's for Sabre. Sonata, okay, cool.
Good. You sleep on Sonata because Sabre stands out.
Yeah.
And Sabre's been, Sabre does stand out. Sonata's been always right there towards the end. And just like him and as of this case now, I think it's going to be Kenny's friend.
Oh, Ibushi.
I think Ibushi are going to be right there on top.
At some point, he has to have a breakout.
Because they need somebody to be their face now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Where you at?
I have it at 8.
Then. Cool.
Is it easy to say Sabre's winning this, or you think Sonata pulled one out?
It's easy to say Sabre's winning it, so I'm going to say Sabre's winning it.
I have Sonata.
Really?
Yeah.
I might have Sonata too.
Gonna throw some points his way, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I have Sonata on that because
there's a reason for that, though. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Co-main event: Kota Ibushi against Kenta. Where you at?
9.
Ooh, what's keeping you?
Kenta's arm.
Ooh, oh, good point. I was at a 10 for that. You just brought me back down to Dallas. Ugh.
And I'm not even going to go there.
I'm at a 9-2 now because of Esther Wade. What about you?
Fuck it.
What?
Wow.
Despite the arm, I'm just insanely curious to see how well Kenta's going to do. And it's against Ibushi. You know, so it's like, goddamn. So, yeah, okay, his arm, he may have a bad wing, but can he hang? Is he who he used to be? Did he go to WWE and lose it? And now what the kids say is it isn't what he has anymore. And what it is it now is weird and new to him. You know, like what is it? So that right there, that just intrigues me.
You think it's too soon for him to have this match?
Yes.
Good.
No.
That's I think that's the other thing that's keeping me. Like, as far as a wrestling fan that's followed Kenta through GHC, through Ring of Honor, through his match with Finn at freaking NXT television to 205 to now, I think this is too much too soon in the tournament for him.
Like, really?
If this match sucks because of Kenta's injury or because Kenta's used to going in cruise control with the rest of the roster on WWE – or Kenta just isn't as fast or just isn't as endurance as Kota Ibushi is, that can harm him.
They should
just as bad, if not more, than all the injuries that harmed him in here.
So you rather have him had tune-up matches going before?
There's plenty of matches in here that he can have a tune-up with in this G1 Climax in the meantime. They did this to sell tickets. But for him as a character on a program, I'm not sure if I'd be ready for that.
I would.
That's like throwing Rousey against Nunez after she had just gotten kicked in the face by what's her face.
All you need though is a 30-second little fucking video package that says, "Hey, remember this guy? He's back."
I'm not worried about how he was before. I'm worried about now. Like if Ibushi just skunks the guy,
and that's why I'm interested because I'm partially intrigued.
You got Kota going over.
Fuck yeah.
Is that even a question?
Yeah, I got to go over too. Okada versus Tanahashi. Maybe half of your Wrestle Kingdom main events have been this match, and now we're getting it here in the United States.
This is
Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. We're getting it for the first time ever here. That's great, but it's the same bullshit that they've seen in their home country for years and years. So I don't see through that fucking facade. It's the same bullshit we've seen for them for half of the Wrestle Kingdoms that's been in existence. So, meh. Six.
Eight and a half.
Woo!
I say that because of the history.
Mm-hmm.
This is like getting Austin Rock in a different place. Let's say if they had a Mania in London.
Yeah.
That would be kind of memorable because you know their history. Okada and Tanahashi have had that since Okada was when he first came back from TNA and tried to make a statement on Tanahashi when he had the title. Mm-hmm. So the story of them.
It's the legend.
Yes.
You know, when baseball went to interpromotional during the week and the Yankees came here and all those games sold out within 30 seconds or 45 seconds, they're not going there for baseball. They're going to say that they went to see the fucking Yankees.
Yeah.
People are going to get to say, holy shit, I was there for Okada Tanahashi without having to fly 16 hours and learn another language.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm
at an eight for that, mostly just because of that. We've had the matches that we've seen since we started covering the New Japan side. Okada Tanahashi's been to okay, but not, oh my God, Kenny Omega, oh my God, Kota Ibushi, oh my God. Like they have a good amount of stake, but there's no sizzle, at least for us watching it on the telly. But that's something completely different when you're there or when you know it's nearby.
Very historical stake.
Yes.
But it's still just stink.
Yeah.
With no sizzle.
Who you got winning?
There's some Gorgonzola on that motherfucker.
This normally is a match that would end a block.
Right.
And now we're starting a tournament with this. Who do you think is winning? Tanahashi or Okada?
Okada.
I'll say Okada too.
Yeah, I think Okada too. I think this is going to tell a story where Okada dude, maybe Okada wins it.
The whole damn thing?
We can't get there because that's one of my things for the final.
Oh! Well, let's get there, man.
Oh.
Overall, for the whole shebang, the other thing to note for anybody that is still interested in going because there's still tickets there, this might be, I think it hasn't been announced yet, but this could be the last match Jushin Thunder Liger has in the United States.
Oh!
This year is his farewell year. And I think his last match is Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, he's doing a farewell tour.
Yeah, and the farewell tour is stopping in Dallas, so that might be his last match. That's the hook that got Travis to get out of the house to come with.
Oh, he's going with?
Yeah.
Holy shit, old man Travis leaving the house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, overall, whole shebang, night one, G1.
8.5.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah.
About 8.5. If I was watching it at home. But you know how I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fairly nice size direction there. Yes.
I keep looking at that tripod like, man, that looks weird being outside of my pants. how about the rest of this tournament, man? 19 fucking nights of Bukkake. Night 2. Tomohiro Ishii against Jeff Cobb. Your anticipation.
9. God damn, these two dudes are going to fucking kill each other, man. I love Jeff Cobb. I love Ishii. Yeah. They're gonna. It's like Godzilla versus fucking King Kong. They're just going to pound it away on each other and just like destroy everything in its path.
Why go to the movies when you're going to get it?
Exactly. Yeah.
What about you, Hector?
What can I say? This is a match. This is a slobber knocker match.
Yeah.
So,
number.
That's one. 9.
9. Who you got winning?
Ishii.
Ishii?
Yeah.
Cobb.
I think I got Cobb too. Be interesting.
You just said Ishii, and then when I said Cobb, you said Cobb.
Oh, yeah, I got Cobb.
Bitch, which one is it?
Night 3, Will Ospreay against Sonata.
Ooh. 8. 7. 7?
Mm-hmm.
What's I'm at about an 8.
What's keeping you?
I don't know.
You know what's going to happen? Sonata's going to win.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a title shot because he's pinned the junior heavyweight champ.
Ooh. That is, there is 4 singles champions in this tournament. So there's enough to further that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who you got winning this?
I'll go with what you guys said. Sure, why not?
Sonata?
I'll go with the experts. I'm the filthy casual when it comes to New Japan here.
Okay, casual. Night number 4.
All right.
Jeff Cobb against John Moxley.
Oh. You know, okay, I want to go with like a 9 or a 10, but I'm actually going to go with an 8 on this simply because Moxley is the new hotness that's out there, so I think it's pretty obvious Moxley's going to win it.
Ooh, where you at?
I got it at an 8, and I got Moxley winning.
I'm at about an 8, and I got Cobb winning.
Shut the fuck up.
Just because Moxley's in this doesn't mean he's wiping the floor with all the second-tier New Japan people.
I know. He's not gonna do that. He's too fresh for this. But he would be the only one to say that he's competed in a King of the Deathmatch and a G1.
Yeah.
That's cool.
After this. So, he might raise his history stakes on there.
Oddly enough.
Go ahead.
Go.
Are you going to go for that same night? I know you would probably want to watch this because you hate this person.
Oh, shit.
Ishii versus White.
Oh, that's why I didn't have it on the list because of him. Dude, if you want to put over White as a threat, you have him get a W over Ishii. Even if it's by crook. I'm assuming it's by crook. I would have White get a win over Ishii.
Well, right now, leading up to the G1, he's got beef with Ishii and Goto. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 of the strongest people right there.
Well, yeah.
Because, man, I can't wait for that match, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm at about an 8 for that. And and I've got White winning it.
5.
Of course. 10 for Ishii, 0 for White.
Yes. Yes. I hope Ishii mops the floor with that motherfucker. Ishii wins twice. He wins twice. He beats him so bad, he beats him twice.
This night 5. This might be the match that I'm looking forward to the most.
Bushi Osprey?
Sonata against Evil. Tag team partners forced to wrestle each other because of the tournament.
That was fun when Axe and Smash had to do that in a tournament once. Or no, was it in a Rumble?
It was Royal Rumble. First Rumble. 2 Axe and Smash.
That was fun. So I could see how this could have that same type of effect. That could be fun.
Can I fill 8. In some blanks for you before you give that number?
Well,
the last couple of weeks, Sonata and Evil have been losing. And when Golden Nobles get together, everybody goes in and
Evil's like,
you know what? Deuces in Japan. And there's been dissension between the two for the last couple of weeks. Even I want to say if you've been paying attention even before when Evil lost to Jericho. You can start to see like his spiraling start to go downward.
Since he came back from the injury.
Yeah.
He's starting to.
Yeah, he's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. You can tell. And I think this is going to be both ways. Like, either this is the glass ceiling that breaks Sonata to the next level, or this could be the next level of evil's personas. Like, all right, we've seen him carry around this freaking, like death.
When is he going to use it?
Yeah, when is he going to fucking, like, cut some people? Go bruiser on somebody, you know? I should have said that before. Like, make both of these guys interesting come out of this match. And I think the story in this match is what got me hooked the most, maybe out of this entire tournament.
Yep.
Everything else is going to be flashy. This is going to have, like, the most substance.
You've convinced me. 8.5.
All right. How about you? Where are you at?
I'm 8.5 on that. For me, just because of the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to go with Evil. I am too.
They gave Sonata the ball. Was it two years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He did good, but I think Evil has enough popularity over there to go ahead and take it.
Out of nowhere. Like, I had no idea he was that over. But
when in doubt, go with the over guy, Evil.
How about Ibushi versus Ospreay?
10, bitch, 10. Yeah.
This opened Wrestle Kingdom this year,
and it was badass. Was the
main event that night.
Yeah, yeah. 10.
10.
You?
Yeah, same. You?
Now the better question: who the fuck's winning?
If Ibushi wins, he's entitled to a match. I would think he's entitled to a title match.
Yeah.
But do you pay Ibushi in the light heavyweight division?
Not anymore.
At the same time, do you do it with Ospreay? He's the fucking champ.
Ospreay right now is a placeholder.
Four?
Whenever they get Takahashi back.
Mm-hmm.
But Ospreay's not going to lose two matches in the fucking tournament. So I don't think
some champs do.
Yeah. Was it Naito lost?
Three times,
and he still won the briefcase.
God damn. Yeah.
So.
I got Ospreay. I don't see one person in this tournament going the streak. Everyone's losing at least one match in this tournament. And I think for Ibushi, this might be it.
Okay, fine. You convinced me.
Yeah.
I got Ospreay too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Night 6! John Moxley against Tomohiro Ishii.
Nice.
Are we at the time of the nap where like Randy's reaching over because she wants seconds and you just turning over because he wants to sleep?
Because we're at night. We're not even. We're barely at night 6. We got 19 nights, bro.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That's a 9. That's gonna be very, very interesting. Seeing how much punishment that Moxley's gonna take,
and that's the best part. Yeah, we saw what he had in a hardcore match. This is just regular wrestling, and he's probably gonna feel worse.
Yeah,
out of Ishii.
This is different than thumbtacks and steel chairs. We're talking about Ishii. He's just gonna slap a bitch.
That's like the closest to a hardcore match in this tournament.
Yeah,
without weapons.
Yes,
that's the closest thing he can get to a hardcore match. Like he's
he can get closer. Moxley versus Suzuki.
Suzuki winds up being in there, yeah.
Damn, why didn't you put him in the tournament?
He can't win! Your anticipation.
9 for this match.
Who's winning?
I got Ishii winning.
I want
Ishii to just.
For Moxley? I wouldn't mind the story where Moxley wins like the first 4, 5, or 6 matches. And then he just gasses out because he's not used to a tournament like that.
Yeah.
And build up that way. That way, next year, if he goes back, he's more prepared.
He's ready.
And he like bounces fools out. I got Ishii winning.
Okay.
That would entitle Ishii for a U.S. title.
Mmm.
So that he never gets a fan to the United States.
Yeah.
Night 7.
Sounds about right for a Moxley / Ambrose U.S. title reign.
Night 7.
He can't defend it.
Night 7. a match that I should have saw when it happened. I think it happened earlier this year. Okada versus Ospreay.
That was pretty good, right?
Was it this past year? Or was it last year? There's an event where the light heavyweight and the heavyweight fight each other.
It was last year, and it wasn't Dominion. It was King of Wrestling.
Yeah,
yeah.
I heard that was a bananas match. Dude. And they're in the same group, right?
Yeah, Chaos.
Huh. Yeah,
that can make for some interesting stirrings of the pots.
And in that match, Ospreay was really close to taking him out. So right now, Ospreay is going with. I'm the junior heavyweight, and I want your belt.
Yeah. Give me a number. So,
I got a 9.5.
9.5! 8.
I'm at a 9, dude.
Okay.
I'm at a 9. cop out, because I mentioned it earlier. This match is going to end in a draw. Time limit. If it's that good, give me more. Leave the door open. Don't have it. And again, the same complaint I had with the Cruiserweight Classic. They kept harping that these matches were 20-minute time limit, and none of them reached the draw.
Yeah.
So one of them has to, and I bet it's this one.
And it's easier to do that in a this style tournament than in the single elimination. Yeah. So yeah, why not? But I don't think that's going to happen here. So Ospreay.
I got Ospreay on this one.
Ospreay. How about Ibushi against Sonata? Have we lost all our listeners? Our viewers, are they still there? Okay, good.
They're there. We got good. Yeah, we got a few in there. Nobody's saying anything. But
they're probably just as guests.
They're waiting on the subtitles.
Bang! Bottle of water!
Pineapple!
Half a Viking, I have a Viagra.
Please. Who was it again?
Sonata against Ibushi.
Anything with Ibushi, I'm going to be like really up there for. But Sonata, I think we talked about this when we were talking about him versus Evil. What makes that interesting is, you know, their tag team partners there. But here it's, okay, another guy in the tournament. You know, there's not a connection really there. So I'm going to go with maybe a 7. I could be wrong, but like this particular matchup, Bushi's winning. Give him some points. Yeah, move on.
I'm at about an 8 with room to be very impressed. If there's a guy that needs an opportunity for a definitive win, like a win where you know that guy's a big deal, I've got Sonata bidding Ibushi.
I'm right there with you on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is gonna be the statement match. For Sonata.
After Sonata loses to Evil, he's going to be pissed off and then beat Ibushi.
It would have shocked me if this tournament, Sonata beats all the champions in the tournament, but loses to Evil. So Evil could hang that over him.
Because
that would be Evil.
There you go. You play along. This is going to, I already see it. I have Sonata winning this, and this will be something he could hang over. Naito.
Ooh.
Oh,
Naito hasn't beaten Ibushi since Ibushi's come back.
Oh,
that's right. He lost to Ibushi at the G1 Supercard in MSG.
Yeah,
yeah. Dude, is it
okay?
If you want to go that far, side detour real quick. Is it time to blow up Ingobernables de Japón?
Yes, but with the missing member is going to be the one to do it. The ticking time bomb.
Ah, Takahashi?
Yeah. Because okay. Before he got injured, he was starting to get little bumping heads with Naito.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine him.
That was during the time where Takahashi had the belt and Naito didn't. Yeah. He was the champ in the group. I remember. Yeah, okay. It's been a while because you go see him. And that stuff fucking cat. Oh my god. But yeah.
Now he's got two.
Oh fuck. Spare, neuter it, please.
But yeah. He comes back because nobody's paid attention to him ever since he left. Since he's
got announced that he's coming back.
He's throwing hints.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought he was gonna come back at Best of the Super Juniors the final night.
Mm-hmm.
And he never showed up. But now he's throwing hints here and there. Like his most recent one is going to be for Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's putting like two different big. He's got a match card there, but nobody that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what the hell he's doing. But you got him. Then you got Evil's doing the little breaking apart. That's all you need to break a group.
Nice. So you guys did not.
So there's actually more story in this that could possibly happen on one side of the ring. Not as much story between the two guys themselves.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how New Japan keeps you interested, because you got to keep looking at everything.
Yeah.
Night 8.
Halfway.
Not even.
Not even.
That's why you don't do math.
Damn it.
Someone that's in our match of the year candidacy, Mr. Takagi, against John Moxley.
God damn it. Moxley is going to get Rochambeau this entire fucking tournament. Yeah.
You're going to be carrying around gallons of lube every night.
Oh, man. That's a bad bitch. You know, he's.
Do you need a break?
Nine. Takagi is he's not the lady to mess with. So yeah, I don't know who's gonna win this though. I might need y'all's insight on this.
I got this at a 9, but I just hope they don't do what they did with Asuka to him, because he remained undefeated throughout the whole time till the Super Junior night.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I just hope they don't. Messing
around
for
the ground.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. I got Takagi winning this. I'm at about an 8. The only experience of Takagi I have is his match with Ospreay that's in our match of the year list. I haven't really seen a lot of him. So
I've only seen him in tag team action. That's it.
Which match would this be numbered for Moxley? Is this his fourth or his third?
Night 8, this would be his fourth match.
Yeah, he's losing this.
Well, after he loses to
Ishii. The beginning of the downward
spiral. Yeah, he's going to run out of gas. That's the story they're going to say. He's going to come up so beat up after this fucking tournament.
Yeah. Night number 9, Okada versus Kenta. Where you at?
8. Just because of Kenta being, he was the face of a different company. Okada's representing New Japan.
9.
What was the company?
Noah,
right?
Pro Wrestling Noah. That was Kenta. Yeah, I'm at a 9 too. By this time, this will have been Kenta's fifth match. Rust he might have had, hopefully, is gone by now.
Yeah.
And Okada, for whatever I have misgivings I have of him as not being as fast as a lot of other guys that are more famous. He's slow enough that he won't. I don't think he'll leave Kenta behind. I don't think there's going to be a pacing problem in this match with those two, as opposed to somebody that's got a lot more up to their step.
Do you think he's gonna Kenta's gonna use some of his friend's moves?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might use CM Punk's move.
I have Kenta winning.
I got him too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okada.
Just for the hell of it.
No, at some point, Kenta's going to not win. If not, like, he might lose like several times throughout this tournament, I think.
Night number 10. Tetsuya Naito against John Moxley.
God damn it, Moxley.
I got this one at a 9 because it's Battle of the Eagles.
Yes. You convinced me, 9. That's a lot of charisma. That's a lot of technical ability in the ring between the both of them. This is going to be like Sean Brett kind of stuff, where they're similar enough, but they're not clones of each other, but they're similar enough. This isn't Hogan versus Brett. You know, this isn't Sean versus Diesel. You know, these are two guys that are kind of similar in style that could probably, like the last match, there's not going to be a pacing issue. They're probably on the same level. Moxie won't have to kick it up to crazy-ass gear, but he doesn't need to go down to a gear with, like, some of the bigger guys like Ishii and Cobb. Shingay. Yeah, and
yeah.
Cobb.
Yeah.
You know, so this might be, okay, let's see what both of these guys can do in the most purest form of them almost being mirrors of each other.
Today, I'm at a 9.5.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, when this match happens, I might be at a full-blown 10. Because it's just about atmosphere. I want to see how Moxley handles the tournament and see if he wears out or if he's getting better. Because if he keeps getting better, dude, this could be fucking – that could be the match of the tournament.
If he is wore out, there could be a chance that this is the blip in the radar where he's like, oh, okay, I started out strong. Fuck, I can't do this tournament shit. And then a little bit of a reprieve. And then, oh, God. Like, this might be that one where he's, like, trying around the corner, but it's just because he's not getting beat by all these big bitches. You know?
Who you got winning?
Moxley. Moxley will finally get one.
You fucking
I got Naito winning.
Naito, okay.
Yep.
I'm a bitch. It's a draw.
You
time limit. Night 11.
Now we're halfway.
Sonata against Kenta.
7. The way you guys have been talking about Sonata a little bit is kind of made me get a little bit of shine off of him. And then by this time, I would already done seen everything I needed to see to make my judgment on Kenta, you know, and how he is. Because, you know, the first couple of matches, I made the argument, I just want to see, does he have it? And at this point, he might, he may not. And if he don't, he don't.
Yeah, I'm at about a 9. This is another match where you don't have to worry about pacing because Sonata's not known to be Roadrunner type.
True.
And especially if Kenta's a little bit lagging from getting worn out. So now it'll slow down for him.
Yeah.
I'm at about a 9 for this.
You? 8.
Okay.
Just because I think the injuries to Kenta is going to start.
Going to start catching up.
They're going to start
catching up. Sheila shot me if he gets hurt and he's out.
Yeah.
And then what's his name could get in?
Oh!
Oh! Fuck Lance Archer.
Shit. I got Sonata winning this.
I got some. What, the whole thing? Or
no, I got Sonata beating Kenta.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah,
yeah, sure, why not?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh,
Will Ospreay.
Oh. 10.
I got Sabre winning it.
I got Sabre winning it too. Yeah.
Ospreay, why not?
Night
2. I just said that just to be different, but that match is going to be badass. Like, there's not much that we can say. You know, so we're just moving on to it. We're just blowing past it. But there's one where all three of us were at a 10, guys. Like, we should say more
about
it.
Let's keep the train going.
Okay.
How about Tomohiro Ishii against Hiroki Goto?
Oh, God. I'm not going to be at a 10. I'm going to be at a 9.5.
Same.
Because yeah. Goto, he's cool, but he ain't that cool.
They've wrestled. I think I've seen them wrestle twice. They have to pull out something that I haven't seen. Like, Ishii and Omega wrestled several times, but last year's G1 where Omega lost to Ishii. We were like, holy fuck! That was the thing that moved it to the next level. There has to be something in here that moves me to the next level between, I think it's mostly Goto.
It is.
There's something about Goto that I'm just like, gah!
I have this one on the draw.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Woo!
This is going to be the draw for me.
All right.
Beat the shit like out of each other to the point that, nobody can hit.
Let's go get a beer.
Yeah.
This is going to be all in Dallas, right?
No.
This is
in Japan.
Okay, yeah. They've already moved on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Night 1 was in Dallas. We're already in fucking night 12.
Because I was going to say, Americans don't like draws. So, no, there's not going to be a draw. But you know what?
They're paying attention.
Back in Japan, fuck it. Yeah. Draw. Why not? Yeah. I'll agree with you, Hector.
Takagi against Cobb. This is one of those nights where you might need to watch damn near everything.
Yeah.
Takagi versus Cobb. That's going to be a hard-hitting affair. 8.
8.
8. Takagi.
Takagi. Yeah.
Takagi?
Yeah. I think he's going to wear out Cobb.
Yep.
As fast as Cobb can go,
and
him and Ospreay.
We're deep in the tournament now.
And we're deep in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay. this is the part of the tournament where people start selling that Suzuki kill people.
Yeah.
And they're like, still wearing like the battle scars.
Yeah. Takagi lasted throughout the whole Super Junior. So.
Oh, yeah. Undefeated until the end. Yeah.
So he's right. Got that endurance already. So.
Fucking Shingo. He just has a badass name. Shingo Takagi. I fucking love his name.
I am at a 10, motherfucker, for Toru Yano against John Moxley. There was a
Yano, the guy you were trying to kick out of the tournament?
Yeah.
And here's why. Moxley's debut in Japan against the Young Lion that opened the show. And then and he was looking at him like, you're not supposed to be kicking out of that. And he beat him up some more. You're not supposed to be kicking out of that. And then he beat him. And then he went back in the ring, and instead of beating him up some more, he carried him over his shoulder and took him backstage.
I became his kind of guy.
Yeah, and even like in the post match backstage, there like, he's got him over his arm like fucking like
Weekend at Bernie's.
He's just dead, and he's like chilling, he's like trying to give him.
He's like, can you give me a Sprite? You know what a Sprite is, right? Oh, okay.
When people tell John Moxley what's funny, it's not funny. Because we've already seen that.
Yeah.
When Moxley does stuff that he thinks is funny, it's funny.
Yeah.
You put that against Toru Yano, it's a 10, bro. I'm not watching that for the catch-as-catch-can shit. Just... I want Moxley burning DVDs at ringside. You know? Pirate Bay, that shit. That's what they have. That's gonna be the bell curve where Moxley's like, you know what? I might still have a chance. And he's going to come up because of that. I'm at a 10 for that. I got Moxley winning it.
I got a 9.
I wouldn't even be surprised if Yano pulls something out of his ass and beats him.
I'm not too familiar with Yano, so I'm at a 6.
Okay.
He's but the guy that takes out the turnbuckles.
And thumbs out DVDs because he's a producer and he makes his own movies.
Yeah. This is where my filthy casualness of Japan kicks in. I don't know too much about him. Yeah, I know.
Fuck. Night 13, Tanahashi against Ibushi.
8. Yeah, 8. Ibushi. Ibushi.
Tanahashi beat him last year in the finals.
Yeah, but Tanahashi don't need it though.
That's what I thought last year.
Yeah. That's what I thought about like 3 Okada matches ago. So I don't know.
I'm at a 9, and I got Ibushi getting the come up, revenge from last year.
I got a 9, and yeah, same thing. I got Ibushi being the one to put Tanahashi down.
Okay, good. Blanca says Tanahashi.
Night 14.
Are we there yet?
No.
Fuck.
Your favorite. Jay White against John Moxley.
0. No. 4.
Okay.
4. Seriously, 4. Moxley.
A lot of room to impress, huh?
Yes. A lot of room to impress. Moxley is already going to be by the end of this tournament. And then fuck Jay White.
Fuck the revival, fuck Jay White.
And
we need to make that a shirt.
And Jay White's winning. So, God
damn
it.
I got Jay winning too. I'm at a 7, but I got Jay winning also.
Yeah. 6.
And
I got Jay White winning.
God, fucking Jay White. God damn it.
Hiroki Goto against Jeff Cobb.
Woo. That could be interesting.
That was a never open weight match before,
was it?
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give me a number, Hector.
7.
7.
6.
Room for improvement. I don't know what I'm missing on Goto. I don't know if it's the look or if it's his presentation or his. There's just something about him. I just can't. I'm missing something. I don't know.
What it is. He went back to, was it 3 years ago? That storyline that he had when he faced Omega and the G1 and the finals. He went back to that story. That he doesn't create excitement anymore. He doesn't have enough respect already in the game. So he's already there just to be there. There's no more excitement towards him.
Okay. Mm.
So I that's what I'm missing from him. There's nothing.
No fire.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Okay. I thought I was the only one.
Can I say something similar about Cobb?
Go for it.
I think Cobb, without his fucking Matanza
mask. I knew you were going to go there. Not as a negative, but you're so used to him as that character. You're not used to him as himself.
When he's out there just in the little chonis that says
smiling
Cobb,
and
that's it. It's like, okay, bro. I get it. You're still a badass. I like your moves, but
you're a fat Kurt Angle.
You had a really great character, and now you're like nothing. You're just another guy.
You're you.
You're a jag, and that's it. You know. So bring something, some other flavor. He needs something. I'm not saying for this match, but I'm just kind of bringing this up in general about Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb needs. He needs to find a little something that's going to make
him different. Is he Hawaiian or Fijian or what is it about Cobb? What's his nickname where he's from? Maybe he needs the dancers like Samoa Joe when he first came out.
He don't need no thicket dancers. No, he don't need to do that. No.
You don't want to see thicket dancers.
Goto
and Cobb.
He needs something else.
Goto and Cobb. Who you got winning?
Goto.
I got
Cobb
too.
Fine.
I'm wrong.
No. Tetsuya Naito against Takagi.
Ooh. Enter.
Fun.
Enter and go in out later.
Yeah.
I got Takagi.
Really?
Yeah.
Naito. Naito will win this.
Eight. I got Naito. With like 30 seconds to go.
Real? Ooh. Okay. So he barely squeaks it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Night 15. Ibushi versus Sabre.
Oh. Oh. 9.5.
Okay.
9.5.
Hector.
Ibushi versus Sabre. 9. Ibushi.
That's happened several times recently. That rarely happened. And then now they're like kind of watering it out a little.
Recently, I think Sabre made Ibushi tap.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A 9.
Man, it's going to be hard to predict this one because it really depends what the standings look like.
Yeah, we're at
this
point. Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know. They could be a pick 'em just depending on
pick points.
Sabre.
You know what? I'll go with Sabre.
Okay.
Good thing about Ospreay and Kenta.
Is that the next one?
That's the same night.
Same night.
Oh. Ospreay and Kenta?
Mm-hmm. Kenta, I'm at 8.
Kenta's going to be held together with shoestring and bubblegum by this time.
So it's the Miyagi in the back.
Yeah. So I would say 7.
This is Ospreay looking into a mirror and seeing his future. Because
Oda busted future.
What could be? Because Kenta wasn't the size that Ospreay that he is now. He was Ospreay like 2 years ago. Yeah. And then when he moved up to the main roster or to NXT, he bulked up. For whatever reason, he bulked up. Guys that are in that weight range that go to like the big companies, they fear that they're going to get lost into the shuffle of the big guys. CM Punk, for example, he gained like 35 pounds of straight-up mass. And he wasn't used to all that. Wasn't used to all that. So when he trimmed back down, we got the best of him because he knew how to handle his load. Ospreay looks now the way – he's looking at Kenta. Like, if Ospreay gets any bigger, he's going to be like Kenta because Kenta used to be as fast as Ospreay. Now I think Kenta's still trying to find that balance between his weight and where his speed was and find the middle. And I think Ospreay's going to get there soon where that ratio is going to be out of whack.
I think Ospreay's already balanced it out.
Really?
Yeah. Because the fast-paced match he had with Ibushi kind of showed that. Yeah, he might not be fast, but his hits are being a little bit more harder, and he's more rougher. So, yeah, he might not be more of an aerial guy. He's ground now, but he's going to give you the best of ground. Just to the point that he freaking knocked out Bushi.
At Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was nasty. That hidden blade from behind.
Yeah.
Whoa. Who do you got?
I got Ospreay.
Ospreay.
You got Kenta?
I think this is going to be the time where Kenta starts running out of gas. I got Ospreay.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Ospreay.
I don't know. Kenta may have already done ran out of gas and has already lost a couple.
No, I think by now we should be talking about fucking Ospreay against Suzuki.
Yeah, is that the next one?
Night 16, okay. Hirooki Goto against John Moxley.
Poor Moxley.
I got Goto.
He got a lot of beef in this tournament, man. Yeah. God damn.
He got all the beef.
I'm at a 7, and I've got Goto winning.
6, Goto. At this point, I was like, stop, he's already dead.
That same night, you got Naito versus Cobb.
Two. Ooh. That's still going to say that's an 8, but okay, 9, yeah.
I got Cobb. I have Cobb going over Naito.
Cobb needs to get
these established guys need to start putting over some of the young.
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I got Naito winning. That one.
Okay.
Night 17.
Hey, I'm middleweight.
Zack Sabre against Kenta.
Poor Kenta. Poor Kenta and poor Moxley by the end of this goddamn tournament.
I'm at an 8.5 for Kenta versus Sabre because this is another match where Kenta doesn't have to worry about speed. Sabre likes it rough and slow. That's what he's gonna give him. So Kenta's got nothing but time. Well, he's got 30 minutes of time.
Right.
But I think this is gonna be one of Kenta's better matches.
30 minutes of slow paced loving. Yeah. Kenta finally get one.
I've got Kenta going over
7.
Same here.
Where number are you at?
8. Yeah. Because
Kenta going over?
That's the last night. I think that's the last night of Block A.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be the statement night.
And possibly the night where everybody's scrambling for their points.
Yep.
So
Exhibit A and B, Okada versus Ibushi.
Yep. I got 9. Yeah, 9 on that one.
9.
And I got Ibushi winning.
Yeah?
Yep.
I got Ibushi too. I don't think I voted for Ibushi to lose a match yet. And at some point, I'm going to be wrong. He's going to lose at least one somewhere in there. But he's going to be having, like, buku points.
I got Ibushi winning because the guy just basically signed a lifetime contract with New Japan.
Yep.
So you got to give that guy something.
But at the same time, like I said earlier, is it too soon to just go right to the heavyweight title? Or do you build him up? He had the NEVER title.
He has been building up throughout the year. So that's the thing. Whether he was with New Japan or not. He's been competing in G1s.
People might have forgot about that since he joined up with Kenny with the Golden Lovers and the Golden Elite. No.
Maybe we've forgotten about that, but the Japanese
folks, that's a transition point. That's a launching pad for him. Okay. Yeah, you don't have Kenny now, but you still got me. Part of the Golden Lovers. Everybody loved the Golden Lovers. Yeah. So it's like Michaels and the guy you forgot.
Jannetty?
Yeah.
You're Japanese?
So did you just compare Kenny Omega to Marty Jannetty?
God dang, Shane!
Holy shit!
He left New Japan, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
Never to be seen again.
I'll add the graphic when we finish recording for Hector. Hector went back to his home country.
Wow. Kenny Omega is the Marty Jannetty of the Golden Lovers. Holy shit.
Oh my god, that fucking Simpsons reference.
Okay, go ahead. Sidetrack.
Neither one of them is the Jannetty.
Yeah, but who?
If you had to put a gun to my head, who's the Jannetty? Ibushi.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. I think Ibushi's more extreme than Omega.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about over, though. Who's more over? Yeah, Kenny's more over.
Well. A wise wrestling legend once said that if you're good enough to go, that you can make a mop look good in your match, then you're over.
He did.
And he did wrestle Yoshihiko.
Yep.
You know Yoshihiko, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you wrestle that little girl from America? Yeah. Japan's Got Talent?
Yep.
Yeah. 9-year-olds? Shit. They're, yeah, I don't know.
Fuck. God damn.
I have Ibushi winning this. And quite possibly that'll come back to haunt him at Wrestle Kingdom.
The whole
quite possibly. No, well, this match. We'll start with this match. Ibushi beats Okada. And then Will Ospreay against Tanahashi.
Seven.
Eight.
This could be for, like, points, and it matters, and Tanahashi might be looking to be, you know, trying to win there.
Like I said, the veterans need to establish the youngins.
They do.
I've got Ibushi and Ospreay going over on the names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Night 18.
Son of a bitch.
We're getting there.
Tetsuya Naito against Jay White. Seven. And I got Naito winning.
Six. I got Naito winning. Because fuck Jay White.
Seven. Naito.
Name that I haven't said all night. A rematch from for the United States Championship. John Moxley against the Juice Robinson.
Ten?
Their last match was fucking bananas, bro.
It was good.
It was good.
I actually got Robinson winning this one.
I do too.
I was going to say the same thing. He's going
to get his receipt. Rubber match for the title.
Get his receipt, so nine. You know, I would be at a 10 if it wasn't for the fact that it seems like it's pretty obvious that Juice is winning this.
Yeah, nine on that one.
Night 19!
Yay!
Who is your winner from the A block?
Son of a bitch.
Ooh, man.
As we're frantically looking up who's in the A block.
I got you right here. A block, Okada, Sabre, Tanahashi, Ibushi, Evil, Sonata, Fale, Archer, Ospreay, and Kenta.
Ospreay.
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 Going back to what we talked about earlier, Wrestle Kingdom is going to be a two-nighter. I got Okada winning it.
Oh.
You haven't had this happen. The champion win the G1 before and choose his own opponent. So I got Okada winning that one. The A block.
I had Ibushi winning the A block. But if you're telling me that, I would love for Okada's only loss to be against Ibushi. And if he wins the tournament, he picks Ibushi.
Oh.
To main event whatever night they want to end that night with the heavyweight title.
Oh. I like that too.
Yeah. And that's why I said the history comes back to haunt him. I would even go so far to say that Ibushi would lose to Okada at Wrestle Kingdom because I would think it's too soon. But that story building up to that, dude, that's easy. That writes itself.
Night 591, Moxley versus a robot from the future.
I got the robot.
Moxley loses. you know what?
What was the name of the maid in the Jetsons?
Oh, fuck. Betty?
Elsie?
I thought it was something with the B.
I forgot it. I'm not gonna, I can't
Betty's
remember.
The wife.
Betty was a wife? No, Judy was a wife. Judy Jetson.
I have no idea.
But you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go with Ibushi.
You're going with Ibushi?
I'm going to go with Ibushi. Although I really like your guys' idea.
So Ibushi against either Naito, Ishii, Robinson, Yanu, Goto, White, Cobb, a guy that we didn't even mention at all because I have no fucks to give as of now. Tai Chi, Takagi, and Moxley.
Oops. Naito?
I got Naito on that
Naito?
One.
Naito?
Yeah.
So Naito.
So you have Okada versus Naito.
Yep.
You have Ibushi versus Naito.
Reason why I have Okada versus Naito? Let's say Naito goes. Forget my idea of Okada picking his opponent. Naito goes ahead and wins it again. Third time's a charm.
Oh, fuck. Naito finally wins it at Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, fuck. Against Okada again. Fuck.
Hey, and now they cannot take away the main event spot because there's going to be two nights.
Oh, yeah. Was that the night that the fans voted Tanahashi versus Nakamura for the Intercontinental as the main event? Ooh. Who you got winning the D-Block? If you're going Ibushi, then Ibushi versus Naito to continue the fucking rivalry. Fuck.
Ibushi. No Naito. No Ibushi. 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 Ibushi.
Man, y'all gonna hate me for this.
Yes.
Y'all gonna hate me for this.
Well, I already hate you.
My finals, night 19. I have Kota Ibushi going over John Moxley.
You son of a bitch! You were saying Moxley was going to lose everything because he was going to run out of gas.
He can still make it with the losses, but I think it's
too hard. As a business guy, if I'm signing the hottest free agent, I'm going to ride that bitch to the ground. But I have Moxley in the final night main eventing my G1 finals as a guy that ended the tournament in CZW and a guy that ended the tournament for New Japan. Even in a loss, Moxley's going to win over the Japanese crowd by putting up a match with Ibushi.
Okay.
As cool. A finals.
That's really the closest thing Japan's going to get from the second coming of Bruiser Brody for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it. Yeah.
Okay.
I got Ibushi going over on Moxley.
I just think that Moxley would be too soon for him to just land to that spot.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about the long-term planning of it.
All right.
Whew.
You got through it.
Oh.
Right. You can tap out of it.
That was a lot, man. I can't believe they do this shit every year.
This is fun. We need to do this next year. Yeah, this is fun.
But do you see now that the stories just
blend
one way or another? They all blend.
Man, there's some matches there.
Yep.
There's some matches that stand out that are out of every, assuming that your memory still functions after us wearing you out. Is there any match on here that we just talked about that you think could possibly end up on our match of the year candidacy list?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I was reading all these names off. Was there one right off the bat? Was it one on night 6 where you rolled your eyes back like you just came? Was it that one?
Probably.
Moxley against, was it Cobb?
No, it wasn't one with Moxley.
Ishii. That might have been Ishii Cobb. Ishii Moxley.
Ishii Moxley.
Yeah. It's possible for any one of these matches in this fucking tournament to get on the match of the year. It always happens every year.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the one that's going to land on the list. Osprey Ibushi.
That could be good.
I think the match was so short on Wrestle Kingdom that it didn't end up on our list. But that, man, if that would have gone 5 or 10 more minutes, that could have been on this year's list. Yeah. But damn, that Wrestle Kingdom had a lot of good stuff. This year was a good year for Wrestle Kingdom. Man, that's the special. That's everything.
That's a huge bitch.
Let's bring it down a little.
All right.
Access. What kind of wrestling is on Access right now? WOW, right?
Right. WOW and New Japan.
They're partnering with New Japan for G1 and a little bit here and there. Would you watch Impact if it was on AXS? Do y'all have AXS?
Yes.
Would you be watching? Well, you already kind of.
I already watch Impact.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Literally, I haven't watched Impact in a long time. Every now and then, I watch the clips here and there.
Yeah.
But for me to sit down and watch the whole show, no.
Yeah.
It would not call my attention.
That wouldn't really change it for me. I'd still watch it when I'm subjected to it.
Whew. I mean, there's a website I use to watch most of this stuff I can't get my hands on anyway, so I'll watch it if I have to. That's how I got the Impact match on my match of the week. I've kept up with a lot of stuff on there. I would keep watching. I mean, I just, again, more competition, more places to work, dude. It's good for everybody. I mean, so it would for, yeah. And Impact at this point, they've survived death for so long that you that you want to see them keep going.
They're the cockroach of the industry.
Yeah. Just but like eventually the cockroaches make good friends. Y'all saw Wally? Come on. Y'all wanted to live.
I mean, that is just like NWA. NWA was supposed to be dead and gone.
Going to that. Eli Drake signed with them.
Yeah. And James Storm.
Yeah. James Storm.
James Storm's their new North American.
Yeah. North American champion. They beat Punk's old friend.
Oh, Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boom, boom.
Yeah, Colt's got an injury, but they didn't know how bad it was, so he had to drop it.
Ah.
So, yeah, we get James Storm against Eli Drake. Dummy.
Yeah.
while I still have you awake, let me talk to you for a couple minutes.
Oh, okay.
Main event for the world title. Michael Elgin gets a shot at Brian Cage. Slammiversary in Dallas the next night after G1.
I have, no fucks to give about Michael Elgin.
You never have, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, Michael Elgin. Yeah. But I really like Brian Cage. So, cool. Hey, that's something good. But Michael Elgin, fuck that guy.
And you're, phased out. You're like, you don't know what any of these people are. I'm talking Japanese.
I know that. I know who they are.
I am aware.
I am aware of who they are.
Four-way for the women's title, Monsters Ball.
Yeah. Yes.
Taya, be cool. Havoc, Rosemary, Soo Young.
Yes.
10? I'm at a 10 for that.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
The build-up to this has been pretty good.
It has
been. James Mitchell's trying to keep both the evils on the same page, but they're going to combust.
Yeah.
And the faces just want to live.
Taya is trying to survive all this.
I got Rosemary getting the belt back.
Why not?
Yeah. X Division. Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, Johnny whatever, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison against Rich Swann.
You know, Impact has actually done a pretty good job about making Rich Swann a credible threat. And like a good, not comedy relief wrestler. I don't know if I care too much about him after all the stuff with his girlfriend and all that, but whatever.
Are they helping you slowly forget that?
Maybe, kind of. I don't know. But Johnny Impact or Johnny Mundo or whatever the fuck we're calling him now, I love that guy. So, yeah.
LAX against the Rascals for the tag titles. Feel free to jump in at any time.
Yeah.
Well, I got something about LAX. All right.
The new LAX, it kind of feels like the new Rockers to me.
Mm.
You know? Jannetty and Leaf Cassidy. LOD 2000. I fucking loved Homicide and Hernandez. Man, that's what kept me in TNA for a long time. Fucking LAX was badass.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, I loved LAX. This version of LAX is just, not doing it for me.
Mm.
Eddie Kingston really didn't do it for me, even though I don't think he's in the team anymore. But
he was in the OG.
That's right. The two other guys.
Ortiz and Santana.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about them.
RVD against Moose.
This RVD is starting to get to that point where I don't want to see him wrestle. He's getting into that Shane and Undertaker territory where it's like I want to remember you for you and for who you were. I want to remember you as Michael Jordan number 23, not Michael Jordan number 45.
From the Wizards.
Yeah, he's starting to get into that territory. He's not completely there yet, but, bro, leave it in the 90s.
First blood match between Eddie Edwards and Killer Cross.
The build for this has been weird. Killer Cross waterboarded fucking Sandman.
That's a poor man's shower. Sandman wasn't complaining. He was like, where is the soap?
Why isn't this beer?
This is better than jail.
I don't know. It was, and then they had the thing where he was like being creepy to the priest in the fucking church.
At this point,
I don't know, man.
At this point, Eddie Edwards' wife needs to just divorce him or get into the hardcore stuff.
Yeah,
because like, I'm tired of seeing her go.
No, please don't.
Not in that hole.
Yeah. Then he just goes and does it anyway. They're both dicks, so I don't know who to choose to cheer for. Like, fuck both these guys. Like, I don't know.
This might be the only event in history of Houston Wrestling Radio where I am at a 10 for both women's matches, because my anticipation for Tessa Blanchard against Sami Callihan is at a fucking 11. I am, dude.
That is the one thing that TNA has got.
Travis, Scott is bummed out that Travis doesn't want to go to Slammiversary because he's dead. It's dead to him.
Yeah.
If I were to pay general admission money just to see that match and then go home, I got my money's worth. The build to that match has been fucking epic, dude.
That pile driver. Woo! Fucking Tessa bounced on her head. Damn, she took that pile driver so well.
No, before that, where he kicked Tessa and then Tessa got up and he gave this look like, like in that moment, yeah. He knew that he don't fuck up. Tessa B ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Even if Callahan wins and they keep this going, it's a fucking 10, bro.
The only bad part about this build was the Christ match versus Tessa.
That was a cruise control.
Christ was like really protecting her, and she did three suicide dives.
Yeah.
But I think she meant to only do one, and she thought, oh, that looked like shit. Let me try it again. Hopefully they'll edit it out in post. And no, each and every one looked like dog shit because he was like, okay, you're going to jump at me. I'm going to gently hug you and stand you up.
But
like,
I'm not going to hug you too hard because hashtag me too.
Yeah, no, bitch, you need a fucking bump. You have a railing behind you. Catch her. Let go of the ugh. Oh, shit.
That's not the first time Macho Man runs into something and dies. Dig it!
God damn it. I fucking ruined my goddamn Macho. Damn.
If any alcoholics are in San Antonio this weekend, bash at the brewery, Freetail. Impact is doing a live show there. That's their monthly show for their Impact Plus network. So you'll be watching that show live on Friday if you're a subscriber. I'm going to just run down the matches. Brian Cage against Moose. Michael Elgin against Eddie Edwards. RVD against Sami Callihan. Fulton and the Chris brothers of OVE against Mac, Swan, and Tessa Blanchard.
Okay.
Havoc against Jordan Grace, which would get a 10 out of me.
Oh, yes.
That would get a 10 out of me.
Yes.
If you want to keep going again with the 10s, Rosemary against Sue Young. That story, Undead.
Okay.
All that stuff. That's another 10. And LAX against the North. That's the show at Freetail on Friday.
Cool.
So, I don't know what the hell's going on Deep Impact on Saturday. I know Brian Cage is going to be here, Tessa Blanchard, Rich Swann, but I didn't see any matches announced unless somebody wants to shoot something in there real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about what's going on Saturday. But
all I know is that it's sold out. That's all I know.
Really?
It sold out twice because they sold out, they added more seats, they sold out again.
Wow.
So, congrats, Booker and ROW doing this joint thing with TNA. That's good.
That place is kind of small though, right? You think it would have sold out if they did a show at Humble Civic Center like they did for that pay-per-view a few years ago?
Maybe. Hector, did you have anything to say about any of this Impact talk? Because we kind of like blew through some stuff and you had something and then
LAX, I guess counter your views with them at being an Impact. Their contracts are up.
And they're being really?
Shopped around.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently AEW and WWE are after them.
And MLW.
Yeah.
And MLW.
MLW is starting to become a little bit creeping into it.
Like, they got the next generation of guys.
MLW?
Pillman, MLW. Pillman Jr., the Von Erich boys, Teddy Hart. And they just signed British Bulldogs kid.
Yeah.
Davey Boy.
Davey.
That's where I remember, like, okay, he's not showing up in New Japan anymore. And I remember him being with Teddy Hart. So yep. The Hart Foundation is starting to
rebuild. The new Hart Foundation. Yeah.
They're starting to rebuild there. So.
That's cool.
Not bad.
Yeah, man.
That's Bear. It. Bear versus Swan. Wait, who's Bear? Yeah, that's what Porsche said. Bear versus Swan. Who the fuck is Bear?
Probably Ruthless Ryan? Ryan Davidson? He's the Bear, right?
Yeah, I think he calls himself a bear. Yeah, but so I don't think Ruthless that's like his name. It's Ryan against Swan. Is that what you mean, Porsche? Ruthless Ryan? Okay. Well.
Anything else?
I mean, that would be a good match, Ruthless Ryan versus Rich Swan, but it's just, I don't know if that's what she means. Oh, yes, that is what you... Why did she just say Ruthless Ryan? Okay, anyway. Okay.
Anything else?
Villains, you remember?
Villain and Prizes as a new member.
Come on.
I didn't have it coming at all. I didn't see it coming at all.
Because it was right there in the ring. Flip Gordon had joined the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Had his shirt on, everything. Likes them. Same kind of Kenny Omega video saying introducing the member. He just goes sideways and then you see Flip Gordon there. Like, what the fuck? Lights turn on, beats the shit out of everybody, start brawling, and then right there.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, man.
Calls him the assassin or something like that.
Night 562.
John Moxley against the Comet.
Moxley versus the Roach.
The Roach wins.
My submission.
Moxley versus Ditka.
Anything else? Is this a show?
Can we call it a night? Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Damn, that was a lot of shit.
Did this, for a New Japan fan, did this episode satisfy you? Did we meet the quota for the year?
Yes.
Or at least for the month.
For the year.
Well, this is basically it. On your New Japan. You don't keep up with the rest. So.
Yeah. G1 Climax, better than Wrestle Kingdom? G1 Climax, better than a Royal Rumble?
Yes.
G1 Climax, better than King of the Ring?
Oh, yes.
Is this the best thing in wrestling ever, as far as the concept? G1 Climax?
Yeah. That is the closest thing that sports entertainment could get to sports. I'm surprised WWE hasn't brought back the King of the Ring and tried to make it sooner.
Yeah. Oh, I've said it before. For the last 2 years, we need to do Queen of the Ring. Sure. Put the girls on there. Yeah. Hey, Stephanie, you'll love that.
Hey, they could do that because I don't really see no women's pay-per-view coming back. Evolution.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, shit, well, the next time they go to Saudi, they could have their own little women's pay-per-view. One night only, call it Queen of the Ring.
Winner gets a shot, basically picks her.
No, winner gets a fucking tiara and a scepter and runs around all year calling herself the queen.
Winner impregnates Maria.